So for me, when I look at something like HPV or any of the other viruses, you know, I have to look at where the virus is affecting the body, and then we could talk about what kind of stressors are being activated. But because we already kind of know your history with, you know, the whole dating situation with marriage and everything else, a lot like me, HPV for me is one of those stressors that says I'm really struggling within myself on the level of finding myself, you know, valued by men in my life. And if you look at that, it really goes back to the beginning, back to your father, mm-hmm. right? That whole alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And I'm not surprised you show a spleen deficient, because worry, well, you know, that goes hand in hand with, you know, liver and gallbladder and all of that, right? Which is feeling frustration, worrying about the things that are occurring in life, and holding on to some anger that we really don't need to warehouse. We really don't, right? So, you know, when I see HPV, to me, it's nothing more than a barometer in our body. If you think of like a weather barometer, right? And it says cloudy, overcast, sunny, snow, right? And so depending on what kind of day it is, how the energy is outside, depends on where it winds up. For you, your barometer is saying that you're not feeling truly desired these days and not feeling fully into yourself as a woman, right? So still feeling less than, carrying some of that old baggage from relationships that has to really be healed. And part of that is, you know, we could do the whole, you know, forgiveness thing and whatnot, but at the end of the day, we cannot forgive somebody until we really understand what we have received in return for the exchange that we've had with them, right? Because there was a time in my life where, you know, I was very angry at my father because I was like, and he's passed, and I was, you know, thinking in my head, well, you know, you started this whole stupid thing off being unemotional, unengaged in my life, never giving me a hug, never coming to any of my events, never coming to any of my shows, hiding away in the basement, doing all your woodworking stuff. You know, he didn't have an alcohol problem. He just didn't want to be bothered with anybody. He was not engaged. So that's what I learned, and I always picked that kind of guy that was really not truly all about me, not engaged in wanting to have a relationship with me. And it took me all these years to figure it out. Now, I value that information, that lesson from my father, because it's gotten me to this place with my work now that has really kind of like put me on the map with the work that I do, with the work that I bring forward. So I want you to look at it in the same respect with yourself and say, I may not have understood in the beginning of my relationship and interaction with my father that my father was selected by me when I created my blueprint to give me the experience that he gave me to teach me how to stand in my power as a human being, but also as a woman, right? And so that whole dynamic is what really has created the catalyst for the experiences that you've had with men in your life up until now. So if you look at it from this standpoint here and you say, I understand myself very well. I understand the lesson that I am supposed to learn because it really is all about self-love. And every time I place worry and fear above loving myself in that moment, I am creating that in my reality, which does not really exist until I put it there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when...
That's what I need.
Okay.
To keep going back to.
Okay. So when we bring... Let's say, for instance, something happens and we're worried about our living situation, right? And we're thinking about the potential for that situation to have a shift and go in another direction, right? A move or something like that. It's not definite, but it's been presented, and now it becomes the focus, the pinnacle point in which we focus our attention and our mind. And so, as you can see, it's out in the future. You've been told it hasn't, it's not, it potential is there, but it might not happen, but it could happen, and the potential would be for a month from now. If you start to think about it and focus in on the fact that you might end up in this potential situation a month from now, you're actually creating that situation in your reality, right?
I'm laughing because my office lease is up March 31st. I mean, I of course have the option to stay.
Yeah.
And he told me he'd give me a year lease, but I'm just laughing because...
Well, yeah, I don't know. I just picked stuff and that's what they tell. It's the intuitive psychic part of me that does that, you know. So we always try to use something that's relevant. So when it came through, I was like, all right, we're going to run with that. You know, it makes it more viable for you to understand what I'm saying.
Okay.
So if you were to focus, and thank you for the validation, if you were to focus on that lease renewal every single day for a majority of your day, then not only are you creating in your reality the potential for something negative to occur because the thoughts would be aligned more to worry, how it's going to turn out, how it's going to transact. Should I stay? Should I go? I don't know what to do. Do I really want? And as all of that is churning, right, on an emotional level, your mental thought process is all the way out there a month from now at that point where you would need to sign or re-sign that lease or let the office space go. And then so your one path says, oh, I see myself sitting at the desk signing the new lease. On the other path it says, oh, God, yeah, well, if I don't do that, then the other path takes me for a move and I've got to move all my stuff out of the office and that's not going to be pleasant or fun, right? So you have these two options now. So your mind is really working overtime, manifesting and bringing into your reality this chaos because there is an uncertainty of where you're going, right? And so in doing that, we're sending that out to the universe through thought patterns, and our body says, hey, thoughts, wait for me because I want to create an emotion that goes with those thoughts so we can really have the experience.
Oh, God.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So just like your body creates insulin and it creates hormones, it's going to create that emotion. And what happens is as it is rushing to catch up with your thoughts, because your thoughts are all the way out there, right? Maybe even thinking to the point of, well, if I don't renew, I've been wanting to move off Long Island, so maybe I'll just move to Florida, and then you start thinking about that. Now your thoughts are even further away from you, and your energetic body, which contains your emotional body because it's part of your aura field, is trying to catch up with where your mental body, which is also in your aura field, has taken off to. Two different energies, right? They work in two slightly different ways. Your emotional body is magnetic. So what it's doing is it's trying to reach out, touch into where the thought process is, and in the process of that, you're getting this shaking in your body, which is creating anxiety, right? Because your emotional body cannot keep up with where your thoughts are. They travel a little different than emotions because emotions are magnetic. Okay? Mm-hmm. So your emotions want to pull out to where the thoughts are, but keep getting pulled back to your body because they're magnetic. So when you create that emotion that doesn't naturally exist in your body to correspond to the thought that you're having, it gets pulled in someplace in your body. And it gets pulled into the place that you are most vulnerable based on your body's energetic schematics, right? And so if we're talking about thoughts and emotions going out there, they're coming back and they're manifesting where we are at our weakest. So the place that would equate to feelings about yourself and lack, not being good enough, and being judged outside of yourself as potentially not being good enough, reside in the solar plexus, right? Solar is all about power, empowerment. It's about judgment. It's how we feel we are perceived by other people outside of ourselves. Our sacral is how we feel about ourselves, how you feel about you, right? So when those two areas become compromised and you're constantly hitting that area with your thoughts and emotions, hitting that area, what you're doing is the aura field is our protective bubble. And beyond that, we have an electromagnetic field that's our protective bubble. But when thoughts and emotions come back into us, because remember, emotions are magnetic, they end up, if they're repetitive enough, they end up burning a hole in our aura field and creating a dimple. And so then that dimple becomes a distortion in our aura, and over time it opens up as a hole in our aura. And then the energy that was protecting our solar plexus and our sacral chakra is now exposed, and the energy hits us right in our physical body. And so that's what's taking place here. So every time you have these thoughts, the most important thing that you can do is to catch yourself in the mode of thinking and say, no, this is not my reality. My reality is here in the present moment, and I am not going to go out into a month from now and think about where my potential is for this move or anything else, right? Relationship or anything. Excuse me. I'm going to stay right here, right now, because when we stay present and we're aligning to what we're experiencing in our present moment of being, it then gives us the opportunity to experience not only ourselves, but what is supposed to come in on our timeline that we blueprinted. Because all the good stuff that we blueprinted prior to incarnation is on this forward timeline. What happens when we get stuck or when we get an illness is we've taken a detour. And then it takes us a roundabout way, and when things get hard, we go uphill. And then when things smooth out and come back online again, we come right back down, zoop, and we hit that timeline again, and we go on our merry way, and then we're like, oh, look, life is good again. Life is happy. Yay, life. But that's not our reality. If we could see the timeline in front of us, we would recognize that every time we want to make a decision for ourselves, such as where we're moving our office to, where we're moving our house to, where am I supposed to live in this moment, when we try to do that for ourselves, it never works. We get in our way, right? But when we allow what is supposed to come to us to come, because we open the pathway, then we can manifest the goodness and the joy that we intended for ourselves via that blueprint that we created when we incarnated. It's the same thing as my house, right? This house. When I had enough of my ex-husband, and I was living in chaos over there. He wasn't wanting to fix anything. I was sleeping in a twin bed in the corner of the living room because I didn't even have a bedroom for myself. I had no privacy. He had the bedroom. It was really kind of a nightmare, but I had subjected myself to that for 5 years and thought, I can't leave here. How am I going to do this? I don't think I could support myself. The fear was overwhelming. And then all of a sudden, one day, I had the awareness I'm sharing with you now. And I said, what, am I stupid? I do this work. Like, what am I thinking? And I just said, universe, I want a new reality right now. Bring it immediately, right now. I want a new place to live right now. Bring me my highest aligned reality right now in this now moment. And when I went to bed every night, I would say that every single night. bring me my new reality, right? Take me out of this reality. And within like 3 days, I might have mentioned to you, I wasn't even looking at houses. I was not looking. But I was shown a picture in my head because I had become so present and so quiet in my thinking that I saw this house. It's at the back of a court. I knew it was going to be at the back end of a court. And I knew that the house number was going to be 11. And I knew that it was going to fit me perfectly in my needs. And I knew that I was going to end up sharing it with a friend of mine because I couldn't afford to do this by myself right now. But eventually, I will be moving again, and that will be a scenario where I will afford it by myself within the next year, right? So when I got out of my way and I called all this in and I said, yes, universe, let's manifest this, let's do this, I stayed so present. I didn't even care about looking for houses, and people like, aren't you going to look? Nope. Why? It's going to come. And that's exactly what happened. I have been using this process for a while now, for a long time now, right? And I even said to my friend who was looking, who lives in this house with me, I said, don't look, because it's going to come. You're not going to need to look. Well, she didn't trust that, so she kept looking, and she was getting frustrated, knocking herself out. And then one day, she called me and said, do you want to take a ride with me? I'm going to go see this house down where our offices are in Holbrook. And I'm like, yeah, I'll come, but I know it's not the house. And she's like, how do you know that? I said, I just know, and you're going to know when you walk in. So we walked in. It was very beat up. It was the same amount as this house. Very, very beat up. Everything was in disrepair. And I looked at her, and I'm like, I can't see clients here. This is like, excuse my language, this is a shithole. And I would be embarrassed. And so in that moment, my friend calls and says, do you remember the apartment I told you about that you said would be too small? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, but you were right. The girl told the owner that she's leaving at the end of the month. The house is going to be empty. Because I kept saying, why do I see the house empty? She's like, no, there's a tenant in there. And it just so happens it's the basement down here that she originally showed me. And so she was like, you'd be interested? And I'm like, yeah, because Beth is going to rent with me. And we were already out, so she said, meet us at the house in half an hour. Here's the address. When I saw the address, I left, because 2810 adds up to 11. 2 and 8 is 10, and 1 is 11.
Ah.
Yeah. So, and then it was at the back of a court, and I didn't even have to come in the house. I just knew it was the house. And I walked in.
Yeah,
and
but
I'm,
you have this ability already.
You do, too. Everybody does. It's just that nobody uses it. Because we were never taught that in school. So the perception that everybody has is that they're not capable of doing this when you absolutely are. It's incorrect that you would think that you can't do it. What it requires is getting very, very present, staying in the now moment, and not thinking, what are you going to be doing? I have a class I'm teaching tonight. That's all this work, right? And it's in Oakdale. And I'm not even thinking about what I'm going to be teaching. I know.
Well, you're very confident in what you do. And
yeah.
With all the knowledge that you have. Excuse you, I'm so sorry.
No, that's good, because you're, and you're getting activated sitting here, so that's okay. So I'm not even thinking about it. I'm just going to go in there and teach whatever comes up in that moment. But that's how I stay present and maintain my presence.
But you have that confidence.
Yeah, but it took work to do this. Yeah. I wasn't always this confident. I was not confident in myself at all, and worried about every little thing, worried about every talk I gave. I'm going to share this because it's kind of funny. I had an herbal class here last night downstairs in my herbal kitchen in the basement, right? And the kitchen is as beautiful as the kitchen is up here. It's all, you know, granite countertops, the whole nine yards and whatnot. And so I had three people register, and I was like, wow, that's really cool. I'm so excited. I have three people. I set it up for six, so if I had six people, and then at the very last minute, at the ninth hour, at 5:30, class started at 6, I had somebody call me and tell me that they wanted to come to the herbal class. They just finished paying for it on my website. Could they have the house address? And I was like, oh my God, I have five people. I'm not prepared for five. Now I have to restructure my class because I had to print more, booklets and whatnot. And so I'm just laughing because the universe like set that up. And it was funny just before he let me know that he paid for the class for him and a friend. I had gotten this vision of five people down there. And so that was just me being very present. But in the past, I would have let that throw me right over the edge.
The extra people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it would have thrown my whole game off. But now, the class went amazing. They were so excited. They're like, so when is the next class? They wrote down like all of the dates that are coming up. And they've all committed. And I'm like, well, this was just a beginner's like 101, how to make tea. And they're like, yeah, but we want to learn everything with you. So now I'm like, well, I guess I'm not going to be posting this class anymore because it's kind of full. That would not have been me like a year ago. I think that because I had that shift in October just before coming into this house. That really just aligned my thinking to like, oh my goodness, I'm the one that's creating all of the health anomalies. I'm creating everything. 3 years ago, four years ago, I was dating somebody and they were not being truthful with me. Their ex was still texting me, all this stuff. And because I was not able to visually see it, because I had no valid proof of validation, but energetically I was feeling that they were lying to me, I developed an ulcer in my right eye. And like overnight. And when I got to the doctor the next day, he's like, how long have you had this? I said, since last night. He's like, that's not possible. This is already advanced. We need to get this under control or you're going to lose your vision.
Wow.
I'm like, wait, what? Then I had to sit and figure out where it was coming from and how to reverse all of that energy out of my body. And how I healed it in 2 days.
How?
Because I shifted my thought process and I let go. Ulcers, stones, all of that are about anger. I was angry at not seeing the truth. And then I just confronted him and I'm like, listen, I don't really care at this point what you're doing, but I need to understand what's taking place here. Are you still talking to her or what are you doing here? Because you're telling me one thing and doing something else. My intuition, my psychic ability is so engaged with this and there is this sense of knowing that it's creating this distortion within my physical body that I need to heal. You need to be honest with me. And then he said, yeah. And that was all I needed. By day three, I went back to the doctor and it was gone. They had prescribed eye drops for me. He was so upset, the doctor. He was like, you're going to lose your vision. It's so advanced. I'm like, no, I got this. I got this. Yeah.
How do I get rid of this?
Changing the way that you're feeling, what you're thinking, your perception of how you are viewing yourself. And it all comes down to, you know, not really feeling good enough about who you are. And I think what happens is, and I just had this conversation with my friend who lives here last night, you know, wanting to use a relationship or men as a barometer for our self-worth. I see a lot of women do this without recognizing that they're doing that. So one of the things that you could do, which I think would be a phenomenal exercise for you if we haven't done this in the past, then it's something that I would want you to do right away.
See, I feel like at this point that I don't even want to get involved in any relationship because I feel like it will be a distraction to my healing.
Yes, but that's coming. That's might not be coming from a place of complete self-love yet.
Okay.
That might be, well, I'm going to stop dating because it's really not doing me any good anyway, and I really need to heal this situation. As opposed to the thinking that, I have spent too much time giving my attention to other people and other aspects of situations in my life, and that is outside of me, which is creating my own situation of lack. So at this particular moment in time, I'm empowering myself, taking my power back, and just focusing on me, which means my engagement with anyone else outside of myself is not going to take place unless it's something that is completely joyful and aligns to my highest truth. That's the difference. So, because I did the same thing in the beginning. I stopped dating and I was still getting the creepy guys coming to me and looking for me and everything else. And we get tested. So you know, a guy will show up who appears to be the right kind of guy,
yeah,
and will be tested because the universe wants to know, your universe wants to know, are you really ready to love yourself?
So what if my answer to that is no?
Right.
My honest answer to that is no. I'm asking questions because in the back of my head I have this guy that I spoke to.
Mm-hmm. That's the piano player.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That we spoke on the phone and we agreed to put going into the city off until after I got back from my vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still not comfortable with the whole thing, but I'm not sure where that uncomfortableness is coming from.
Right. So uncross your legs and close your eyes. Okay, so I want you to start breathing in through your heart center, and I just want you to drop your consciousness right down into your heart, and you'll feel it go plunk right down into your body. When you're in your heart center, it'll feel like you just really anchored into every aspect of your body, because it feels like you came right out of your head, poured into your body, and there you are. So focusing on your heart center. As we connect into the heart center, breathing in and out of the heart center. This is where you are engaged with the higher self and not engaged with the ego mind. So we always want to go into the heart, because when your eyes are closed, you're in your heart. When your eyes are open, you're in your ego. So I want you to think about this guy, the conversation with this guy. And I want you, without thinking, right, I want you to just, with what comes up immediately for you, I want you to allow yourself to state what your true hesitancy is with him. Where is that coming from, really? Stay in your heart. You already know what it is.
It's stupid little things.
Well, what are the stupid little things?
Stupid little things. Maybe I'm not ready for somebody who might be kind to me and love me. He's somebody I think that doesn't take care of himself physically.
Okay.
That bothers me.
Okay, so I'm going to stop you on the first one. Why would you date him?
Because I said okay in a hurry because he caught me off guard. Now I feel stupid.
So why can't you stand in your power and you say to him, you know what, I have to be honest with you. I've done some soul searching. And while I like you and I think you're a very nice person, I don't believe that I am in a position to engage with anybody at this time right now. I have so much stuff within myself that I need to work on. That would be your truth. And that would be standing in your power completely, right? Because really what you're, close your eyes, because you're in your head right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're thinking too much.
Mm-hmm.
Close your eyes. So every time you get in your head, I want you to close your eyes and go right down into your heart, drop into your heart. And I'm going to ask you this question. I want you to keep your eyes closed. So he's presenting himself as not being somebody that takes care of himself physically. You obviously are somebody that takes care of yourself physically, And I want you to answer this question for me with your eyes closed, staying in this position you're in. Do you think that you deserve someone who takes care of themselves physically as a partner?
Why not?
Okay. Absolutely. The answer is absolutely. So if you are taking interest in someone who does not take care of themselves physically, what is that really? What is taking place in your human really that would allow you to do that?
The only reason I have an interest, and the interest is just music that he, you know, that he plays and we sing.
Okay, stay right there. Close your eyes. Okay, so I want you to see this. Do you see the manipulation you're allowing yourself to be played into? Do you see that? I want you to see the manipulation that you're allowing.
I mean, I enjoy him. He's a nice man.
Okay, you're making excuses.
Right.
I want you to keep your eyes closed and see the manipulation that's playing out here. He wants to date you. You like him as a friend. You are not capable of standing in your power. And where does your power reside? In your solar plexus and your sacral chakra. You do not think enough of yourself to say, hey, this would not be a good relationship for me. However, I could be friends. So you are not putting yourself first in this situation.
Well, am I to assume that he wants something other than a friendship?
Let me ask you that. Go into your heart center, go into your higher self, and I want you to ask yourself that. You already know the answer.
Yeah,
he does.
He said two things to me. He said something about, do you like to travel?
Uh-huh.
And the other thing was, did you ever speed date?
Uh-huh. Okay, you could come back. So this is how I want you to work. When stuff comes up that you can't figure out, you're dangerous.
Why
with
am
your,
I so,
you're dangerous with your eyes open because you go into your ego.
Okay, because I'm afraid of losing a friendship. And I swear to God, I just quoted this the other day, to thine own self be true, blah, 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 on Facebook.
Okay, so stay
so
where you
I'm
are.
I'm such a hypocrite.
Keep your eyes closed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to tell me this. So where does this factor in to you empowering yourself? Because this is really, in this reality, dating him would completely disempower you because it's not really what you want. You would then, again, be lending yourself to a situation that is not really the reality that you most highly align to. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
So this is where you need to get true with what is your reality. What are you most highly aligned to? And you can thank your solar plexus and your stomach for making you sick every time you are not aligning to your truth.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
How does that feel?
Well, I still feel, you know, like turmoil.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because deep down, I really do know that the right thing would have, when he called me, would have been to say something.
Right. Okay. So put your hands on your sacral area. Put your hands right there. As if you were holding it like a baby. Right? And I want you to go into your heart. So stay in your heart. And as you're in your heart, I want you to imagine streaming the love in your heart right down through your arms, down into your hands, right through your fingers, and right into your sacral chakra, right there into your sacral area, into your intestines, into your own wounding. And I want you to bring that love full circle right down there from your heart. See it streaming down into your sacral area. And I want you to hold the feeling of unconditional love for your sacral area, because your sacral area has done a very, very exceptional job letting you know that you are not putting yourself first, that you are not valuing yourself, that you are putting other people's needs before yours and sacrificing your own true self. And I want you to just hold that area and just feel the love in this moment radiating down into that area, really connecting in to your sacral area. And in this moment, sharing unconditional love with the feeling of turmoil in that area, soothing it as if you were nurturing your own inner child, nurturing the wound, nurturing the area that has been wounded over and over and over again from your childhood through your adulthood. And I want you to just take that in and let yourself feel all of that. Feel into it. Whatever emotions come up, just let yourself have them. And now I want you to let that area know that you love it, along with the rest of you. And that you promise not to abandon yourself or your sacral area again for the sake of anyone else in your life. Because you are the most important thing in your reality. You are the most important person in your reality. As you bring in self-love and appreciation for all that you are, for all you have to offer. So just give yourself thanks in this moment for bringing through the awareness, even though it was through an illness, to bring this to your attention so that you could heal it fully by being present and showing up for yourself going forward. And then whenever you're ready, you can bring yourself back into the room. Did you feel that?
I have to tell you, my ego is working overtime because I was having a terrible time trying to focus on what you were saying.
See how powerful and strong the ego can be?
I know.
It becomes very challenging, which is why you are going to need to do this exercise as often as you can. Because this is an exercise for you to love yourself more. Very, very important. Very, very, very important for you to make that time for yourself and love yourself more. So when you start to get into your head, and you have these moments where, you know, you perceive yourself as less, or that you should date somebody because they're attracted, they're interested, they're this, they're that, you know, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to go into what really is taking place. What is really occurring here? So that you can have that full-on experience and see your truth. All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then what I want you to do is I want you to make a list of all of the people in your life
who have made you feel less than? Not good enough. Yeah. And then what I want you to do is I want you to lay in bed at night and I want you to call your higher self forward, which would be closing your eyes, going into your heart. And I want you to begin to cancel out your soul contract with each one of them because now you understand the lesson. It was all to empower you to self-love. And now you can cancel those contracts and create soul agreements, and your soul will know what to do.
What about forgiveness for those? Some of those people.
Forget forgiveness right now. We're not even going to look at forgiveness. Let's just work on the soul contracts.
Okay.
The soul contracts shift the relationship. And then we can talk about forgiveness.
Okay.
You can't forgive something you're not ready to let go of or change.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so this is Maria Deasy. This is I Am Abundance. Okay. All right. So the reason that I decided to teach this class is because I noticed that not along with myself, a lot of people struggle with the idea of abundance or having abundance in their life. And the concept is usually that abundance is not for me. And there's a lot of reasons why that is. And a lot of it has to do with how we grew up. Okay? Can anybody relate to that? Maybe hearing that from family members, right? Money doesn't grow on trees. Mom, can I have a dollar? Can I have $5? No, money doesn't grow on trees, you know. I have a dollar left in my wallet, right? So what's happening there is it's become a generational thing. So maybe they've heard it from their parents, and now they're handing it down to us, and we hear it, and so it becomes a belief system for us, right? And in that moment that we take that in as our information, as our belief, we're no longer being a good receiver to our universe. Because the concept is that money is not for me, right? If my mom doesn't have it, or my father doesn't have it, or my grandparents don't have it to give to me, then I probably won't have it, and I won't have it to give to anybody else. So this is the concept that we pretty much work off of. And, you know, I never really thought about it much until I left my job in 2008 to do my spiritual work full time. And I was making about $100,000 a year working in the corporate world, in broker-dealer. And so, you know, going back to when I was about 4 years old, I can remember being very intuitive, you know, laying in bed, conversing with the angels and my guides. And I didn't know that's who it was back then. And, you know, if I called my mom, she would be like, there's nobody there, just go to sleep. We checked the bed, we checked the closet, there's nobody there. But I knew that there was. It wasn't in my head. What I didn't know was that my mom was super psychic, right? And I didn't realize that until later in my life, but she was super psychic. And she was afraid of it. So she wasn't interested in helping me with it because it scared her, right? So I, you know, at 11 years old, knew I was supposed to be a psychic and a tarot card reader, which is really how all this started. Seeing the movie Live or Let Die with James Bond. Now, I know some of you are too young to remember that, but for those of us that are older that remember that movie, Jane Seymour was the tarot card player in Solitaire. Her name was Solitaire. She was beautiful, stunningly beautiful, and I remember looking at her as I was laying in the back of the car at the drive-in movie, thinking, oh my gosh, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be a tarot card reader. And little did I know what the heck that was, but I aligned to it at 11 years old, right? So, of course, I spent the next few years trying to figure that out. Long skirts, very, very short haircuts, very hippie-ish, putting these, you know, little stickers like cherries and strawberries on my cheek as a little tattoo, you know, and painting my nail with, you know, bright neon blues back then and everything, and really trying to find my authenticity in a world that was, you know, wanting to shut it down at every angle, right? And a lot of challenges on the way. My one teacher at school would hold my hand up and shame my neon blue nail polish. And then, you know, my parents were really pushing me toward going to college to get an education so that I could make some money and support myself. And so that was how I grew up and what I came to know. And by the time I was probably about 19, I was out of high school and, you know, finding it very hard to make money because I was working as a cashier in a grocery store at that time. And my parents said, you know, you need to go to college. My mother was a hairdresser. That was not college. Owned 3 beauty parlors. That didn't require any college, right? But I had to go to college. So this was a whole, you know, a shift in my perspective within myself. And so I did. I ended up going into college, and I took medical laboratory technology, which I hated. Hated the internship in the hospital that I worked at, Mercy Hospital in Rockville Center. And I opted out, and I came down with the chicken pox and decided I wasn't going for my finals, and I wasn't going to be in that lab tech person. And that's how my body rebelled with the chicken pox, right? Because on a subconscious, unconscious level, Maria really didn't want to do that. So I ended up in banking through a friend of mine and started working in banking. And then I ended up in broker-dealer work, which was much more stressful, managing, you know, a department at the end of probably about 16 people. And every time somebody would get sick, I would send them home. And my boss would be like, what are you doing? Nothing, I'll sit at their desk and do their work, because that was my way of interacting with my staff. I had the top producing department that I took over that was originally called the Bad News Bears, because they were the least productive in the company. But the love that I was giving them helped them grow, right? So as my time at this company was, I didn't know, coming to an end, in 2000, I developed cancer for the first time in zero stage. And it was one of my guys, my higher self, waking me up in the middle of the night saying, you have cancer, go to the doctor. To which I did, to which it was zero stage cancer, right? So all of this transpiring, and then in 2004, it came back again for a second time. And then I realized that something was out of alignment, right? Because I lost 90 pounds, I was eating healthy, and the cancer still came back a second time. And when it came back the second time, that's when I started to do some deeper research within myself and within the All That Is to see what was out of alignment, because I thought I was doing everything that I needed, right? But my energetic vibration, my thoughts and my emotions were completely out of balance with what I perceived about myself, okay? Now, why am I telling you all of this? I'm telling you this because this is very, very important to achieving an abundant life, okay? Because abundance is not just about money, right? Money is the thing that we look to measure how abundant we are, right? Because it's always good to have a tangible item to place your value to, right? And money for most people is what that item is. Because we look at love in a little bit of a different way. So I knew I was abundant financially, but I was certainly lacking in myself, in loving myself, right? And so what I was realizing in that moment is I was very much out of alignment with myself and my universe. And so my job was getting increasingly difficult. I was working 16-hour days. They were harassing me every time I went on vacation. So I started to realize that I really wasn't supposed to be there anymore, that my universe was asking me to leave. And in that moment, I started to ask my universe to show me my path, show me a different way, right? And then one day, in February of 2008. I'm on the Summers Highway driving home, and I'm yelling at my universe because I'm very, very angry and screaming at it because something that transpired at work, and now I have to change my plans for these classes that I want to take and everything. And I'm really, really angry, and I'm like, I feel like I'm just done with this job, and it's time for me to leave because it keeps getting harder. And so I said, if you're going to send me a sign, just make it a big one so I can't miss it, and I have to do this, right? And I'll send in my resignation notice, like, right away. And so in that moment, this big white box truck starts to drive past me, and as it's driving past me, I look up at it, and there's only two words on it. And in these big letters across the box truck, it says, Universe, Inc. The only thing on the truck, there was no telephone number, right? So, of course, what I have to do? I had to go home, tell my then-husband that I was leaving my job, to which he would panic, and that I was handing him my letter of resignation. And that's exactly what I did. And I was out in May of 2008, right at the height of the recession. So I thought, you know, this is going to be easy peasy because I was already doing my spiritual work, and I was had a ton of clients. I was busy Saturdays and Sundays. I thought it was a no-brainer for me. This was going to be easy. And what I found is that it wasn't easy because I wasn't holding the vibration of financial abundance in my body. So when I left my job, what I didn't realize was that I was holding the perception that with my job went the money. So I was no longer holding a higher consciousness concerning money in my physical body, in my emotional body, or in my mental body, right? So as that was all transpiring, I was slowly depleting everything that I had in my bank account, and found myself dwindling down, losing the clients that I did have, because my energy, my personal energy, had become so low in vibration, right? And I worked on this very, very diligently. I went to Louise Hay's work, and I started saying abundance affirmation, you know, abundance flows freely to me, and all of those beautiful things. But it still wasn't happening for me, and I was still having a difficult time with it. And what I didn't realize at that time was, in order for us to create anything that we desire, no matter what it is, if you want a new car or a new job, a new house, a new relationship, whatever it is, we need to not only have that thought in our mind, right, in our mental body, but we have to warehouse that information in every cell of our physical body. Because in order to manifest that happening, we have to be a good receiver, right? How many people here know what intention is? Yeah. So when you hold intention, how does that work for you? Like, what do you do? What's your philosophy on that?
Well, I think of it like when I hold intention for, like when I'm doing a meditation,
okay,
or like to start my day.
Okay.
So I sort of formulate what I want to, it's sort of what I want to have running in the background for the day.
Right.
Or if it's for a meditation, I'm focused more on it. But it's what I want to be like my theme, I guess.
Okay. And how often do you find yourself holding that intention all day long?
Barely ever.
Right. Which is exactly what happens.
Because everybody else's intentions get in the way.
That's correct. And that's called life getting in the way, right? So you didn't see it, but what happened on my phone just now is my intention reminder popped up. Did you see
it? Yeah.
My intention I told you, you're going to learn some new tools in this class. Yeah. So what I do is I set my intention first thing in the morning. We're going to talk about a whole process and a whole routine I'm going to give you guys, and that's why I'm trying to record this so that we can have this to listen to again and again. So setting intention is a beautiful thing, right? But when we don't stream it throughout our entire consciousness, we're not holding intention. We're holding the moment, is what we're doing. We're desiring an intention in that moment, but we're actually not creating intention unless we're actually streaming it. So what that would require would be us to have the intention, see it in our head, pull it down, feel it in our body, all the way down to our toes, right? And run it. Now, what's important here is to remember that, you know, our energetic body makes us a really good receiver, right? How many of us receive other people's transmissions through telepathy, right? It's called being an empath. And so through that telepathic experience, you're receiving those transmissions of other people, and sometimes you can sense when they're not feeling good, even when they say they do, or when something has happened, even when you don't know that it's happened. But we're also really good transmitters. And how that happens is that we're holding that as vibration in our body. Okay? So if you think of it in terms of this, information comes in and information goes out. And we have many different highways right now, because that is changing over the course of time very quickly. But right now we have chakras, meridians, and nadi points. Okay? And so if you think of the chakras are big source of energy for us, right? So the chakras are huge. It's the biggest energetic body in our body that takes information in and puts information out. I think of it as like the Long Island Expressway. Many lanes of information coming and going, right? And then when we look at the meridian points, a huge amount of highway information coming in, just a little smaller, a little different. We get the side roads in the meridian points, right? And so if you think about the meridians, we're going to think about roads like, you know, Nichols Road, right? Which might be a two-lane highway. It's smaller than the Long Island Expressway, but it's still effective. It's two lanes on each side as opposed to three or four lanes on each side. It's a smaller body of information, but still very, very effective. And then the nadi points are billions of points all over our bodies, which are the even deeper side, the back roads, right, if you will, that take you into nowhere land in the middle of nothing. And all of those are extremely information oriented for us, right? Giving out information, but also taking information in. And so when we are trying to make something happen in our world and anchor in our intention, we have to hold that intention through all of those major points within our body. We have to be able to run it through our chakra system, right? So the chakra pillar has to be engaged. We have to run it through the meridians, and we have to run it through the nadi points. Now, does that take a intense, you know, amount of work to do that? No, it doesn't. But what it does is it takes the intention anchored in a way that you have certainty. Right? Because we don't really use that word too much these days, being certain, being sure, being playful, right? So with playful intention and making sure that you do it with certainty, that you are in your awareness in that moment, right? You're going to then anchor that information into your body. So let's do an exercise right now, because I want to bring you all online and rebalance the energy in here. And then we're going to do another exercise to bring in that intention. Okay? And what this is going to do is this is going to get you in touch with your body. So I want everybody to close your eyes and just relax. Okay? And the first thing we're going to do is we're going to drop our consciousness right into our heart center. So I want you to feel yourself taking the elevated down, pushing the lower level to the heart, so it's the H level, and push that, come down into the heart. And once you feel yourself come down into the heart, I want you to notice that you felt something in your whole body. It went right down into your seat and went right down into your legs. And if you didn't feel it, that's okay. Go back up into your head and bring yourself right back down into your heart again, and just feel yourself drop right in, and you'll feel it in your whole body. And now what I want you to do is I want you to begin breathing in and out of your heart center. So breathing through your heart center, take a breath in, and breathing out through your heart center. And breathing in through your heart center. And breathing out through your heart center. And as you take the next breath in through your heart center, I want you to bring that